B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Tzadik Tes. We're going to start 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis from the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Oymeid Odom B'Rushus HaYochid, a person is allowed to stand in a Rushus HaYochid, U'metaltil B'Rushus HaRabim, and whilst standing in the Rushus HaYochid, he can stretch his hands out over the Rushus HaRabim and move something in the Rushus HaRabim. And we'll soon see that that's providing that he does not move the object for Amis or more. B'rushus HaRabim u'metaltel b'rushus HaYochid. For the same token, a person can stand in Rushus HaRabim and move something in a Rushus HaYochid. And that he can do even beyond four Amis, because the object in Rushus HaYochid is allowed to be moved in the Rushus HaYochid without any restrictions. And regarding the first halacha of somebody standing in Rushus HaYochid and moving an object in Rushus HaRabim, ubilvad shelo yotzi chutz me'arba Amis, he has to make sure the object does not move outside its original four Amis. One's not allowed to move anything in Rushus HaRabim beyond four Amis. Continues the Mishnah, Lo yamid adam b'rushus hayochid, a person is not allowed to stand in a rushus hayochid, v'yashtin b'rushus harabim, and urinate into a public domain, because that way he's causing the urine to leave one rushus and go into another rushus, and that's something which is not allowed. B'rushus harabim v'yashtin b'rushus hayochid, nor is a person allowed to stand in the rushus harabim and urinate into a rushus hayochid. V'chein lo yorik, a person is not allowed to spit from one rishus into another rishus. Rabbi Yehuda says an even greater chiddush than that. Af mishenitlash roikai bapiv, if a person has saliva in his mouth and the saliva's become detached, so to speak, which means it's been collected and gathered in his mouth, then since it's considered a burden for him, then lo yehalich arba amis ach yorik. He's not allowed to walk with the saliva in his mouth. He's not allowed to walk four amis with it in its mouth. It's considered that he's carrying the saliva in the Rushus HaRabim four amis, which is osa. Achiorik, he has to spit it out before reaching the four amis mark. Says the Gemara, Masni le'rav chinano bar shalamyo lechior barav kamei derav. The nusach that Rav Chinano bar shalamyo etc. said in front of Rav to Chir Barav, he said the version he said was Lo yamoid odom b'rushus hayochid u'metaltel b'rushus harabim. Contrary to what it says in our Mishnah that Oymid odom b'rushus hayochid u'metaltel b'rushus harabim, he learnt in his version of the Mishnah that a person may not stand in one domain whilst moving an object in a different domain. Lo yamoid odom b'rushus hayochid u'metaltel b'rushus harabim. Omerli. So he said to him, Shavkas Rabbonon, have you left the halacha of the Chachomim, the Rabbonon, which is the our Mishnah, V'ovdus K'Rab Meir, and you seem to be following the opinion of Rab Meir in a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph, that seems to say that according to Rab Meir, one may not stand in one Rishus, moving an object in another Rishus, contrary to what it says in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, who sovar? This Reb Chinano bar Shlamya, he maintained mid a sefer Reb Meir, Reish Namim Reb Meir. Since the Mishnah later on Daf Kuf Aleph is the opinion of Reb Meir that one may not carry from one domain while standing in another domain, he holds that the Reisha, which is our Mishnah, is also Reb Meir, and he must have had a version in our Mishnah, not that Oymeid Odom Bil Shos Hayochid, etc., rather Lo Yamid Odom Veloihi. But the Gemara says that's not the case, save for Reb Meir. Indeed, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph is Reb Meir, Vereisha Rabbonon, but this Mishnah is the Rabbonon who argues with Reb Meir and says that Oymeid Odom Bershus Hayochid, Umetaltel Bershus Harabim, etc. Continues the Gemara, Ubilvad Shelo Yotzi Chutz. We saw in the Mishnah that the Mishnah said that one's only allowed to move something in one domain while standing in another domain. And as we explained when we learnt the Mishnah, this is referring to standing in the Rushus Hayochid and moving an item in the Rushus HaRabim, that's provided that he does not move the item outside its four amis. Now, what's the scene here? We assume it to be that the person is standing on a rooftop, and a rooftop is always going to be, or typically would be a Rushus HaYochid, it's more than 10 tfachim high, and he would reach out to an item in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And now we assume that the way he does it, the way he's moving it, is he's lifting it off the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim up towards himself above 10 tefachim off the ground, moving it however much he's moving it, and then putting it back down into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And according to our Mishnah, he's allowed to do that, providing that he does not move it for Amos. Says the Gemara, we can deduce from our Mishnah, Ho-hoitzi, if he did move it outside its four amos, Chayev Chatos, he's going to be Chayev because he moved an item in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim four amos. Asks the Gemara, Leima Maseyele L'Rava, this seems to be proof to Rava. The Omar Rava, Hamavir Chayfetz, if somebody moves an object, Mitchilas Arba, L'Soif Arba, from one point in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to four amos beyond that spot in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, v'heviroi derech olov, and between them, in the middle of that four amos, he lifts the object above his head, which is above 10 tefachim, and we know that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is only up to 10 tefachim, above 10 tefachim is a mokim patur. Rava maintains that if somebody carries from A to B in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where A and B are four amos or more apart, then even though he went via the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim above his head, he's chayiv. So that it would seem from our Mishnah, proof to Rava, because this person, according to our Mishnah, lifted up an object in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We assume that he lifted it to the point above 10 tefachim off the ground, moved it for Amis, and put it back down. And that case is Osir, and the Gemara assumes that not only is it Osir, the Gemara assumes that it's chayiv chatos. Answers the Gemara, no. Mika toni im hoitzi chayev chatos. It doesn't say in the Mishnah that if he did move it 4 amis is chayev chatos. It just says that less than 4 amis is mutter. So obviously more than 4 amis is osur. But chayev chatos? Who said? Dilma im hoitzi. Maybe if you moved it 4 amis, potur aval osur. It's osur to do it, but he's potur. And then it would not be a proof to Rava. On the contrary, it would even be a question on Rava. Ika de omri. Others have a different version of this Gemara. Ha hoitzi potter aval osur. They say from the Mishnah says it's mutter to move it up to 4 amos. You move it 4 amos, it's osur. We assume it means it's osur, but he's not chayev. And then the Gemara is saying, lei mutavet yufta de Rava, in which case our Mishnah will actually be a question against Rava. Da omar Rava, hamavir mitchilas dalad l'seif dalad, v'hevir ederech olav. Chayev, we saw Rava. Rava says that if you move it from A to B in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, going over a mokim patur, that he's going to be chayev. And according to how this second version of the Gemara learns the Mishnah is saying that if you move it for Amos, it's potur aval osur, it's not chayev. Answers the Gemara, no. Mikatoni hoitzi potur aval osur. Does the Mishnah say that if you move it for Amos, it's potur aval osur? Dilma im hoitzi chayev chatos. Maybe. If you move it for Amos, it's actually Chayev Chatos, and then it's proof to Rava. So either way, all we see in our Mishnah is that you're allowed to move it less than 4 Amos. More than 4 Amos is definitely Osir. Whether it's Chayev Chatos or just Potter Aval Osir is going to depend on whether you hold of Rava. And you do not have any proof in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah doesn't actually tell us what the consequences are of somebody who does move it for Amos. Continues the next Gemara. Lo yamid adam b'rishus hayochid v'chulu. We saw in the second halacha in the Mishnah, a person may not stand in a private domain and urinate into a public domain, and vice versa. Says the Gemara, Omer of Yosef, Hishtin, if somebody did urinate from one domain to another, v'rok, or if somebody did spit from one domain to another, chayev chatos. His chayev chatos, he's carried something, he's caused something to leave one domain and enter another domain, and if the two domains are Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he's Chayev Chatos. Asks the Gemara, V'habainon Akira, V'hanocha me'al gabe mokim dalet v'leka. We know that in order to be Chayev for carrying from one Rosh Hashanah to another, you have to do an Akira in one Rosh Hashanah, which means lifting it up and off the surface of one domain and placing it on a surface in another domain. And we know the halacha is that to be considered a significant surface, to give value and significance to the Akira or Hanocha, it needs to be off a surface of four tefachim. And here, it may have landed, the urine or the spit may have landed on an area of four tefachim, but it certainly didn't leave that area. It left his mouth, which is not four tefachim, or it left his bladder, or whatever you want to call it, and that's not four tefachim. Answers the Gemara, Machshavtoi Mashvilei Mokim. And the way Rashi explains this is that since this person very much needed to get rid of either the urine or the saliva in his mouth, and since it was he needed it and wanted to get rid of it, then the act of transmission from one domain to another is considered a significant transmission, even though it was not on from a surface of four tefachim, and therefore it's significant enough to be considered havara and chayev. De'ilo itemachi. If you're not going to assume this way, Hodo Omar Rava, this that Rava said, Zorak, if somebody throws an object, an item, v'noch b'pi ha-kelev, and it doesn't land on the ground, it lands in the mouth of a dog, or b'pi ha-kifshon, or the entrance of a furnace, and it gets burnt up before it reaches the surface. Chayev chatos, he's chayev chatos, asks the Gemara v'abayinon anocha al gabi mokim dalet v'leka. How are you going to explain that you chayev there if the object did not land on a surface that was four tefachim? And a machshav to mashvelei mokim, since his intention was to transmit, to transfer the object from one domain to the other, then his thought, his intentions, gives significance to this type of transmission, of this transfer from one domain to another, and his chayev. So the same as you say there, hochanami machshav mashvelei mokim. So too in our case, his intention and his need to spit or to urinate gives significance to this type of act. Continues the Gemara. Boyerov, hu b'rishus ha-yochid, upi omo b'rishus ha-rabim. So we understand that if a person is standing in Rishus ha-yochid and urinates into the Rishus ha-rabim, he has transferred the urine from one domain to another, he'll be chayev. What happens if the pi ha-omo, which is the exit of the organ through which he urinates, is also hanging over the Rishus ha-rabim, and from there he urinates? So do we say, mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say, bosar akira azlinon? Do we say that since the urine left the bladder, and the bladder is in the Rishus ha-yochid, it's considered moving something from one domain to another? Oy bosar yetzia azlinon? Or do we just view it from the place of exit? And since the place of exit, the pi ha-oma, is in the Rishus ha-rabim, and he's urinating into the Rishus ha-rabim, he's not actually transferring from one domain to another, and then it would not be chayev. The Gemara says, teiku, we have no way of answering this question, and therefore it's going to stand for the time being. Mirtz Hashem Mashiach comes, everybody knows, teiku stands for Tishbi Yataritz Kushis V'Boyes. It's only a remez. The real translation of teiku is it let it stand. It's unresolved. But there's a remez that the Chachomim have given us that Mirtz Hashem Mashiach comes, all the teikus and shas will become verified. Continues the Gemara. V'chein lo yorik. We saw in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama say that in the same way as you may not urinate from one domain to another, so too one may not spit from one domain to another. Rabbi Huda says, even if you don't spit from one domain to the other, but you're just carrying the saliva in your mouth, once it's been detached, once it's already collected and gathered in his mouth, it's considered a burden, and just walking with it in his mouth for amis is also asa. Says the Gemara, Laf al gav deloy hofich bo. It seems from the Rabbi Huda says that as soon as the saliva in his mouth has become detached, then that means it's gathered in his mouth, then it's already considered a burden, even if he's not doesn't turn it round in his mouth. That means he hasn't played with it in his mouth and turned it into a ball of saliva ready to be spat out. Even before that point, he's not allowed to carry it. Vhotnan. This seems to contradict what we saw in the Mishnah. What we saw in the Mishnah, Hoya Oichil Devela, if somebody was eating dried figs that were of Truma, Biyadayim Masuavis, and he was eating it with hands that were dirty, they were soiled. We know the Zalocha, we've learned previously, Maseches Shabbos, that the Chachomim said that hands that touch Truma, they make the Truma also to eat. However, Truma can only become Tomei if they were susceptible to become Tomei, and that is that one of the mashkim, one of the seven liquids, touched these fruits or the Truma product, after which, if something Tomei touches it, it can make it Tomei. So if somebody put this Dvela, these pressed figs, into his mouth, and he had his hands were not clean, he had not washed Natilas Yudaim. V'hichnis yodo l'toich piv, and then he puts his hand into his mouth whilst these figs of truma are in his mouth, litoil tsroir, in order to remove a little stone, a little pebble from his mouth. So now you've got food, you've got these figs in his mouth, the saliva in his mouth has obviously touched the figs, and now his hands that are not, he has not done Netilas Yudaim, are touching these figs after the saliva has touched the figs. Reb Meir Matami. Reb Meir says that the saliva made the fig susceptible to become tummy, and once he puts his hands into his mouth and touches the truma, they become tummy. Reb Yosi Matai. Reb Yosi says no, he says the saliva is not susceptible, does not make the truma susceptible to becoming tummy. Reb Yehuda Omer. Reb Yehuda says, Hipichbo, tummy. Lo hipichbo, toher. It depends. If the saliva has gathered in his mouth and he's already turned it over in his mouth, ready, so to speak, for it to be spat out, from that point on, it's not anymore considered just an extension of his body, rather it has the status of a liquid, ready to be spat out. From that point on, it makes the truma susceptible to become tummy. But if it was loy hipichbo, then it's still considered as part of the body of a person, it's not considered a liquid, and therefore the truma will not be able to become tummy. So you see clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only once it was hipichbo, then it's considered a mashke, then it's considered that it's not part of the person anymore, and he's just carrying it, and therefore it's called a mashke. And here in our Mishnah, it seems from Rabbi Yehuda just says, mishanitlash, as soon as it becomes gathered in his mouth, and doesn't say that there's a condition that he has to have hofich, it has to be turned over in his mouth. Answers the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefes Hashita. It's clear, or it seems, and Rashi explains what it means is that Rabbi Yehuda obviously changed his mind. And even though in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda seems to maintain that even if Lo Hipich, it's considered a liquid, it's considered a burden, it's not considered anymore just an extension of the person, when it came to the Mishnah that we just learned here, Mishnah in Kalim, Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Rish Lakish Omar, Lo'olam Lo Tachlif. Rish Lakish says no. There's no need to say that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. What we're actually talking about is when he's got phlegm in his mouth. And if you have phlegm in his mouth, it's not just saliva. Saliva, it could well be that it's only going to become considered a liquid and a burden if it's hofich. But if he's got phlegm in his mouth, then that, as soon as it's, so to speak, detached from his, from wherever it came from, then the phlegm is considered a liquid, even if he's not hofich, and therefore it's considered a burden, even if it's not hofich, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kichoi v'nitlash, that it says that explicitly that Kichoi, which means phlegm, and it became nitlash, and it became, so to speak, detached from its source, at that point it's already considered detached from the person. My love, can we not assume that the Braisa means Roik v'nitlash, not only if it was his phlegm that became detached, but also his saliva that became detached, and in neither you need to have the hofich. Says the Gemara, loy, kichoy v'nitlash, it's only talking about the phlegm, that when in the case of phlegm, even if it's not hofich, it's considered a burden, and it's considered a liquid, and detached from the person. However, regarding roik, it must be that it's hofich before it's considered a burden, before it's considered a liquid and detached from the person. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, we learnt in another Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kichoy Shenitlash, V'chein Roikoy Shenitlash, the Braisa explicitly says, either phlegm that became detached, or saliva that became detached, Lo Yehalich Dalad Amois, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to go 4 Amois, Ach Yorik, until he spits it out. So you see clearly, that you do not need to have hofich. And then the question comes back that this seems to contradict the Mishnah in Kalim that we saw that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only considered a liquid if it's hofich. It says the Gemara, Elo Michaverta, the correct explanation to answer this contradiction is Kedushanin on me. Kora is like Rabbi Yochanan explained that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind and he now rules like the Mishnah in Kalim. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rish Lakish. Kiach bifnei raboi, If somebody spits, or he spits out his saliva or his phlegm in front of his Rebbe, chayev misa. He's chayev misa. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, says, v'choit yichoy meis nafshoy, kol mesan'ai ohavu moves. Says the Gemara, kol mesan'ai ohavu moves, and this is the Torah talking. Al tikru l'mesan'ai, don't read it, mesan'ai, those who hate me. Rather, elo l'masni'ai, those who cause others to hate me. And somebody who spits in front of his Rebbe is a degrading the covered for the teachers of Torah, and it's going to cause people to hate the Torah. And the punishment for that is Misa. Ask the Gemara, v'homeinas onis. Well, is it not talking about if somebody has to spit out his phlegm in front of his Rebbe, does that not mean that he's like forced to do that? He's not doing it out of choice. He's not doing it in order to degrade his Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Kiach v'rok k'omrinon, we're talking about if somebody, he coughed and then he spat out in front of his Rebbe, and in that case, it's clearly degrading and he's chayev misa. Even though the saliva and the phlegm that came into his mouth may have been an oinus, he may not have had a choice, he may have just had a cold or been sick, but nobody said you have to spit it out in front of your Rebbe. You could have spat it into a piece of material, or you could have turned away to spat it out. The spitting it in front of his Rebbe, that's something which never has to be done, and somebody who does that is degrading his Talmud Chochem, degrading the Torah, and is Chayev Misa. Says the next Mishnah, Lo yamid odom b'rshus hayochid v'yishte b'rshus harabim. We've already learnt about this in Maseches Shabbos and at the beginning of Maseches Erevin. The person may not stand in Rshus Hayochid and put his head out of the window over the Rshus Harabim and yishte b'rshus harabim and drink from a cup or from water which is in the Rshus Harabim. What's our main concern? He's going to take this vessel, the cup with water, and bring it into him to where his body is, to where he is in the Rishus HaYochid. He'll be carrying from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaRabim v'yishte b'Rishus HaYochid. The same applies, a person may not stand in Rishus HaRabim, put his head into Rishus HaYochid and drink there. Again, we're afraid he's going to take the vessel with the water out towards him in the Rishus HaRabim. He's only allowed to do this if not only he puts his head into the other domain, but he puts his head and most of his body is leaning into the other domain, and in that case we are not afraid that he's going to take the cup of water out into the domain where he's standing. V'chein begas, the Mishnah adds on, we'll have to see exactly what this means, but in the case of a wine press, the same applies that we'll see in the Gemara, but at this point it means that if you want to drink from, or you want to drink some of the wine in the wine press, and he's standing outside the wine press, he's only allowed to do that if his head and most of his body is over the wine press, and otherwise he's not allowed to do that. And we'll see in the Gemara whether this is a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos or whether it's a halacha in Hilchas Maisa. Says the Gemara, Reisha Rabbonon v'Sefer Reb Meir. We saw in the Mishnah Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis at the bottom that we learnt at the beginning of today's Shia that it says Oymeid Odom b'Rishus Hayochid u'metaltel b'Rishus Harabim b'Rishus Harabim u'metaltel b'Rishus Hayochid. We saw in the Mishnah that a person is allowed to stand in one domain and move something in a different domain, keeping it in that domain, and you're allowed to do that, and we're not afraid that he's going to take that object and bring it towards himself in his domain. And here we see that a person is not allowed to be in one rishus and put his head into a different domain, even if his whole body is not in the other domain, just his head is in that domain, where the water that he's taking in the other domain is staying in that domain, he's putting it into his mouth, which is the hanocha in his mouth. And we say you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to do it if most of his body is also in that domain. Why should this Mishnah be following Reb Meir that says that we are afraid that person is going to bring the item towards himself, and the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis seems not to be afraid? Ask the Gemara, Reisha Rabbonon v'Sefer Reb Meir. The first Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis is going following the Rabbonon that we're not concerned, and Sefer, which means this Mishnah, is like Reb Meir, that we are concerned. answers the Gemara Omer of Yosef b'chafeitzim shetzrichim loy v'divrei hakel. The whole Machlokes, Rabbanon and Rav Meir, are items that he doesn't necessarily need for himself. However, here we're talking about water. We're talking about that he's drinking. And since he needs that water for himself, we are more afraid than even the Rabbanon will say that in this case, we're afraid that he's going to take the water and bring it towards himself, towards where he's standing. And therefore, they only allowed it if most of his body is out of into the other Rishus as well. Continues the Gemara. Iboyeluhu. Caramelis mai. Is a person allowed to stand in a caramelis? The Mishnah is discussing standing in Rishus HaYochid and drinking from Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. What happens if you're standing in a caramelis and one's not midrabbonon, one is not allowed to take something from a caramelis to either Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaRabim? The question is he allowed to stand in a caramelis and put his head over into either Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim and drink that way, even if most of his body is not in that Rishus as well? Answers the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Abaya says that in the same way as one is not allowed to stand in Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim and drink in the opposite, in the other domain, so too regarding a caramelis, one's not allowed to carry from a caramelis to either of those Rishuyes. Therefore, one cannot stand in a caramelis with one's head in either Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim and drink that way. Omar Rava. Rava says no. He gufa gzeira. Putting one's head into another Rishus and drinking, biblically speaking, should be okay. The only reason it's asa is because we're concerned maybe he's going to bring the water from the other domain into where he's standing. So you're saying that in the case of Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, that's only also because of a gzeira. Vanan nekum v'nigzer gzeira lo gzeira. We're going to make another gzeira on the first gzeira. Then not only Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, this is true, even in a caramelis, where the whole issa of caramelis, the whole issa to carry from a caramelis to either Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim is only a gzeira that we're afraid you'll get confused with a regular Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. So we're going to make a double gzeira? Omar Abaya. Mino aminilo. Abaya says, where do I know this from? Abaya, who said that one's even from a caramelist to Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim, it's also to drink that way on Shabbos. Where do I know that from? Abaya says, I hear what you're saying, that it's a gzeira le gzeira, but I have a source for what I'm saying. The Mishnah says, the last two words in the Mishnah, v'chein begat, in the case of a wine press, the same halacha applies. And how do we understand the case of the gat? The person is standing on the edge of the gas and he's putting his head over into the wine press that he's not allowed to. He's not allowed to drink that way. And Rashi explains that this person is standing in a Rishus HaRabim. He's putting his head over into the gas, into the wine press to drink from it. Then, and let's understand, is this wine press a Rishus HaYochid? If it is, then the case of Chein Begas is exactly the case of the beginning of the Mishnah, that he's standing in the Rishus HaRabim, putting his head over into Rishus HaYochid. The Mishnah doesn't need to repeat it twice. So it must be that the gat is actually a caramelis and not a Rishus HaYochid, and the person is standing in Rishus HaRabim. So when it says V'chein Begat, what the Mishnah means, not only from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim we have this issue, but from a caramelis to Rishus HaRabim we have the same issue, that one's only allowed to drink that way if most of one's body is hanging over the gat. So Abaya says, here's proof to what I'm saying. V'Rav Omar. Well, how's Rav going to explain that? Rav's going to say no. In the case of caramelis and Hilchos Shabbos, we're not going to say that if you're standing in a Rishus HaRabim and your head is over a caramelis, or if you're standing in a caramelis and your head is into a Rishus HaRabim, that you're not allowed to drink that way. You are allowed to drink that way, even if most of your body is not hanging over. What does it mean, V'chein Begas? V'chein Begas is talking about a different halacha. It's not talking about drinking from the wine press on Shabbos while standing outside the wine press. It's talking about L'inyan Maiser. There's halacha regarding Maiser, that somebody who eats a temporary type of eating, then he's allowed to eat without taking maisa. So if somebody is in the wine press and drinking, that's called a temporary type of drinking. We'll soon see in what case, but that's considered a temporary type of drinking, and he's allowed to drink that way even without taking Maisa. The question is, if he's standing outside the wine press and his head is hanging over the wine press, is he allowed to drink that way, or are we concerned that he's going to take the wine that he's drinking out of the wine press and then it will not be considered a temporary drinking and then he's not allowed to continue drinking without taking Maisa? So the Mishnah says, V'chein begat, you're only allowed to drink from the gas without taking Maisa if most of your body is hanging over the gas, and then there's no concern that you're going to take the wine out of the area above the wine press. Let's see this inside. V'chein amar Rav Sheshes, V'chein begat l'inyan Maisa, same as Rava, so says Rav Sheshes, that the words V'chein begat are talking about Maisa. Ditnan we learnt in the Mishnah, Shoysin al hagat, a person wants to drink wine in the wine press, on the wine press, he's allowed to. Bein bechamin, bein betzainon, irrespective of whether he diluted that wine with cold water or with hot water, upatur. Divrei Reb Meir, that's what Reb Meir holds, he does not need to take Maisa. It's considered a temporary type of drinking, and therefore he's allowed to drink that way. Rebbe Eliezer bar Tzadik, mechayiv. Rebbe Eliezer bar Tzadik holds that since he diluted the wine, it doesn't matter if he diluted it with cold or with hot water, it's considered a permanent type of drinking and is chayev maisa. The Chachomim say, Alachamin chayev, if he diluted the wine with hot water, then he's chayev because the remaining wine, he's not going to toss it back into the wine press because the warm water is going to destroy the wine. So when he's going to drink the whole cup, it's a permanent drinking and is chayev. Valatzayin and potur. However, if he dilutes it with cold water, then indeed he's potter from Maisa. Mipnei shemachzer es ha-Maisa, because any wine that's left over in his cup, he'll toss it back into the wine press. Either way, we see here that you're only allowed to drink this water when you're, if you're al-hagas, if you're in the wine press. The question is, if you're standing outside the wine press and your head is over the wine press, is that sufficient if he's not in the wine press? So for that, v'chein begat, Rav and Rav Sheshe say, that's what our Mishnah is coming to say, you're only allowed to do that if most of your body is hanging over the wine press, but if just your head is over the wine press, then we're afraid you're going to take the wine out of the wine press, and then you'll be chayiv with Maisa, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. Continues the next Mishnah. And before we learn the Mishnah, we'll just introduce what's going on here. Back in the days, homes were made with flat roofs. If it would rain, then there would be little pipes or little crevices in the roof that would channel the water towards the edge of the roof. What's going to happen with this water at the edge of the roof? So there were one of two options. Either the water, what they would do is they would put a little frame around the roof that would, so to speak, collect the water. The water would drain towards one side. Obviously, there was some type of a slope or something that made the water drain to one side. When the water came to that side, then there were one or two things that happened. Either there were some small holes in the edge of this frame, and the water would then pour out onto a gutter, a horizontal gutter along, going all along the roof, and the gutter would typically be anything within three tfachim from the rooftop and below it, which means that the gutter was considered an extension from the rooftop, and all the water would be gathered in this gutter, and then the gutter would be slanting downwards to one side of the gutter, and all the rainwater would then fall out of the gutter onto the ground below it. That's one thing that they would do. And this gutter is called a mazchila. There was another way of draining the water, that the water would drain to one corner of the roof, and then from this corner, there was a drain pipe that was vertical, that was usually, the drain pipe would come right down and would extend below the roof more than three tfachim. It was not so close to the top of the roof, it would actually carry the water considerably down the corner of the building or the house, and then it would fall out. Now, a person could do one of two things with either the mazchila, either the edge of the gutter, or with the end of the drain. He could either let the water just fall down into his mouth or into a vessel, a utensil he's holding. That's one option. Or he can actually put his mouth or his vessel right next to the edge of the exit of either the drain or the drain pipe or the gutter, and then receive the water directly. The difference being that when you just catch the water, then your first contact with the water is in mid-air, and mid-air is not considered a domain, it's considered a mokim ptur. And then it doesn't really matter if it's above 10 tvachim off the ground or below 10 tvachim off the ground, it's considered, the air itself is considered a mokim ptur. However, there's another option, and that is to actually be mitzarif. That means koilet. Koilet means to catch the water. Mitzarif means when you attach your vessel or your mouth to the edge of either the mazchila or the tzinoir. And that way, because you're taking it straight off the end of this pipe, it's considered as if you're removing the water from the pipe into your vessel. Now, it depends what the status is of the mazchila, or the status of the, that means the edge of the mazchila, the end of the gutter, or the end of the drain pipe, depending what the status is of that as to how serious what you're doing is. For example, the mazchila, being that it's the gutter, was being that it's so close to the top of the roof, and the roof itself is always at least 10 tfachim off the ground, the roof itself is a reshus hayochid, even if the gutter is a little bit lower, within 3 tfachim, and it's within 10 tfachim off the ground. However, since it's an extension from the roof, it has the status of reshus hayochid, and if you take something directly off this gutter into your mouth, or into a vessel that you're holding in the Rosh HaRabim, then you're actually considered as if you're taking the water from Rosh HaYochid into Rosh HaRabim, and that is seriously asa. In the case of the tzinur, in the case of the drain pipe, where it's typically below 3 tvachim from the roof, that's not considered a Rosh HaYochid. And then it's going to depend whether this tzinur, whether this pipe is 4 tvachim wide. If it's 4 tvachim wide, then it depends. If it's above 10 tfachim off the ground, it's a proper Rosh HaYochid. If it's lower than 10 tfachim, then it's not Rosh HaYochid, but it will be considered a karmelis. And so that means the only time where really it should be mutter is if you're directly taking from the tzinoir, is only providing that it's less than 10 tfachim off the ground, which means you're not taking it from Rosh HaYochid, and it's less than 4 tvachim wide, which means you're not taking it from a karmelis, in which case you can then take it directly from the end of this drain pipe straight into your mouth or straight into your vessel. So again, in the case of catching the water, it makes no difference how far, whether you're catching it above 10 tvachim off the ground or below 10 tvachim off the ground. It doesn't matter whether you're catching the water coming from the drain pipe or you're catching the water coming from the gutter. Either way, it's mutter. When it comes to taking directly, being mitzarif, attaching your vessel or mouth to the mazchila and the tzinoir, then it follows. Regarding the drain pipe, it's always going to be considered as if you're taking from Rosh HaYochid into Rosh HaRabim, because the gutter is so close to the top of the roof and the roof is Rosh HaYochid, that's always going to be Osir. Regarding attaching your kli, your vessel, to the end of the drain pipe, there it depends. If it's less than 10 tvachim off the ground and the gutter is less than 4 tvachim wide, then it's mutter. If this drain pipe is less than 10 tvachim off the ground and it's 4 tvachim wide, you're not allowed to take straight off it because you're taking from a karmelis into the Rosh HaRabim. And if the gutter is less than 4 tvachim wide and it's above 10 tvachim off the ground, then again, that should be mutter. However, but there we're concerned that since if the gutter would be 10 tfachim, 4 tfachim wide, and it's above 10 tfachim, it would be carrying from Rosh HaYochid into Rosh HaRabim. So therefore, if it's above 10 tfachim, even if it's not 4 tfachim wide, and therefore would be considered a mokim ptur, nonetheless, it's also to do it, so we shouldn't get confused between less than 4 tfachim and more than 4 tfachim. Those are the rules, and that's what we're going to learn now in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Koileit odom mina mazchila, a person is allowed to catch water coming off the gutter, lemata me'asara tvachim, if the vessel that's holding, that's going to catch the water, is below 10 tvachim. And as we saw before, Rashi explains that this is true even above 10 tvachim. And the only reason the Mishnah says less than 10 tvachim is in contrast of tziruf of a tzinor that we're going to see in a moment. But regarding the catching water from a mazchila, from the gutter, and we're going to see the same applies even to a tzinor, it makes no difference. Catching water in a vessel is always mutar. Umina tzinor, however, from a, there's one halacha which applies to a tzinor, which applies to taking water from a drain pipe, is mikol mokim shoisa. He's allowed to drink in any which case, even with tziruf. That means in the case of the maz, in the reisha, it's only koilet, you can catch the water. Catching water you can always do. However, regarding the tzinor, not only are you allowed to catch the water coming out of the drain pipe, you're even allowed to attach your vessel straight to the mouth of the drain pipe in order to receive the water. We'll see, providing it's less than 10 tvachim and off the ground, and providing that the gutter is not 4 tvachim wide. And that is allowed. However, above 10 tvachim, mitzarif is always osur. You're not allowed to attach a vessel to the end of a drain pipe if it's to the end of a gutter. To the end of the gutter, you're not allowed to do tziruf. You're only allowed to do koilet. You're only allowed to catch the water. You're not allowed to attach the kli to the end of this gutter, for the simple reason that the gutter, as we said, is an extension of the roof with the Rishus HaYochid, and receiving the water into a kli from the Rishus HaYochid when you're standing in the Rishus HaRabim is asa. Says the Gemara, koilet in, talking about the mazchila, you're allowed to catch the water coming off a gutter, aval matzare floy. You're not allowed to put your vessel to the edge of the exit, to the, directly attached to the end of the gutter and receive the water, that you're not allowed to do. My tama, why not? As we explained, Omer of Nachman, hocha b'mazchila pochis megimel samuch legag oskinon. We're talking about that there's less than 3 tvachim from the gutter to the roof. To call pochis megimel samuch legag kegag domi. We know there's a rule of lavud that anything that's within 3 tvachim is considered as if it's an extension, and therefore this gutter is considered an extension of the roof. The roof is considered a rishus hayochid, and you're not allowed to take something directly from the rishus hayochid into another rishus. Tanya nami hochi, we see this also in a brisa. Oy meid odom rishus hayochid, umagbia yodoy lemailo me'asor tvachim. A person can stand in a rishus hayochid, lift his hand up to above 10 tvachim from where he's standing, lepochis mishloisha samuch legag, and to a place which is within 3 tvachim, close to the roof above his, v'koilet, and he's allowed to catch the water coming out of it, uvilvad shelo yitzarif, but you're not allowed to put your vessel to the mouth of the gutter, which is on the roof above yours, and this is to do with the halachas of carrying water from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid without an Eruv. And we've discussed that previously. So if I'm on my Rishus HaYochid and I want to take on my rooftop and I want to take water coming off the gutter off your rooftop, so I'm allowed to catch the water because then I'm not taking it straight off your rooftop. However, I'm not allowed to put my vessel to the mouth of the gutter because that's considered as if I'm actually taking the water from your rooftop onto mine. In the absence of an Eruv, that would be awesome. Tani idach, we saw also in another brisa, lo yamid adam b'rishus hayochid, a person is not allowed to stand in rishus hayochid, v'yagbia yodoy lemaylo me'asor tvachim, and lift his hand up to a point above 10 tvachim from where he is, lepochis megimel samuch legag, to the place which is within 3 tvachim from a rooftop, v'yitzarif, and attach the kli to the mouth of the gutter, that's asa. Avol koiletu, but you can catch the water coming down, v'shoisa, and drink from it, because you are receiving the water not straight from that gutter, you're receiving it from mid-air, which is considered a mokim p'tur. Continues the Gemara, min hatzinoir mikol mokim shoisa. We saw that when it comes to the drain pipe, the vertical drain pipe, which is more than 3 tvachim away from the roof, there, not only are you allowed to catch the water coming from it, but you're even allowed to attach your vessel straight to the mouth of this drain pipe. And you're allowed to take the water, so to speak, take it straight from the drain pipe to the vessel, to the Rishus HaRabim, where you're standing. And we said that that's providing that it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, and providing, and that way it will not be a Rishus HaYochid, even if it's 4 tefachim wide, and providing it's not 4 tefachim wide, because otherwise it would have the status of a karamelis, and then it's mutter. Says the Gemara Tana, im yesh betziner dalet al dalet, also, if the tziner, if this drain pipe is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, then even if it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, and therefore it's not a Rishus HaYochid, however it is a karmelis, and one's not allowed to take water straight from a karmelis into Rishus HaRabim, mipnei shehu kamotzi mirishus l'rishus, it's also midrabbonon to take something from a karmelis to Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it's also, and when it says in the Mishnah that you're allowed to attach your kli to the end of this drain pipe, it's talking about that the drain pipe is not 4 tefachim wide, and therefore it's not considered a karmelis, it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, and therefore there's no reason to get confused with the domain of Rishus HaYochid, and therefore it's mutter. Continues the next Mishnah. Boir b'Rishus HaRabim. If in the Rishus HaRabim you have a pit, v'chulyosoi, and you have the mound of dirt, of earth, that's piled around the edge of this pit, g'voya asara tefachim, and at this point we assume not only is the pit 10 tefachim deep, but the chulyosoi surrounding it is also another 10 tefachim high. In that case, chaloin sha'al gabov, if there's a window above this pit, memali nimenu b'Shabbos, you're allowed to throw a pail out of the window and draw water from this pit and draw it up into the Rishus HaYochid, into the home. And the Gemara will discuss what we're talking about here. Similarly, ashpo, if you have a trash pile, b'Rishus HaRabim, in the Rishus HaRabim, just adjacent to a building, we'll soon see how adjacent it is, g'voya asara tefachim, if this trash pile is 10 tefachim high, which means it has the status of a Rishus HaYochid, then chaloin shal gabov, if there's a window of the home above this 10 tefachim of the trash pile, shoivchin netoicha mayim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to pour water from the building, from the Rishus HaYochid, onto this ashpo on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, b'mayoskinon, what are we talking about here? Ilema b'smucha, we're talking about this pit in the Rishus HaRabim, and we said that the pit was 10 tefachim deep, the wall around the earth, the mound around the pit was another 10 tefachim high, then in that case you're allowed to draw water from it into the Rishus HaYochid next to it. Asks the Gemara, how close is this boir from the window? Ilem b'smucha, is it adjacent? That means it's right next to the building, there's not even 4 tefachim between the home, between the bayis and this pit. Why do I need that there's a wall around the pit of 10 tefachim high? Why is it not sufficient that there's the pit itself is 10 tefachim deep? The pit is 10 tefachim deep. It's considered a Rishus HaYochid. So I'm allowed to put my pail straight into the pit, which is Rishus HaYochid, draw it up into the home. There's no Rishus HaRabim between the two. If there was 4 tefachim between the home and this pit, then the area in between would be Rishus HaRabim, but it would only be Rishus HaRabim up to 10 tefachim high. Then we would understand that I need that the pit itself has walls of 10 tefachim around it in order that the pail, as soon as it reaches the 10 tefachim airspace, which is the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it's already within the walls of the pit. It's Rishus HaYochid. Then it's okay. And in the absence of those walls, then as soon as it reaches 10 tefachim off the ground level, it's in the Rishus HaRabim. And then drawing water from the pit, which is Rishus HaYochid, that will be Asa. But the Gemara says, if the pit is so close to the home that it's not considered a Rishus HaRabim, then I don't need those walls going around the pit. Omer Rav Huna says, Hocha b'mayoskinon, the Mishnah is talking about b'mufleges minakos l'arbo, when the pit is 4 tefachim away from the wall. V'tamad ikachul yasorah, the only reason you're allowed to draw from that pit on Shabbos is because it has the wall, the mound around it, which is 10 tefachim. Ho lekachul yasorah, however, if there isn't that wall around it, then the pit itself is the Rishus HaYochid, the home is the Rishus HaYochid, the airspace above the pit is the Rishus HaRabim. And that would be also, you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid going through Rishus HaRabim. That's how Rav Huna explained it. Rabbi Yechonon said, no, afilu teimu b'smucha, The truth is, we're talking about that the pit is close to the home. It does not, the airspace above the pit is not considered a Rishus HaRabim. If so, why do I need the mound on top of the pit? Hokom Ashmelon, says Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah is coming to tell us, the boir v'chul yosei mitzdarfim la'asara. It's not that the pit is 10 tfachim and you need another 10 tfachim above it. No, you only need 10 tfachim all in. And then the 10 tfachim all together, it's Rishus HaYochid, you can draw from there to the house, because there's no 4 tfachim between the two. It's going to be considered carrying from Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaYochid. And the reason we mention the mound is to teach us an added chiddush, that if the mound, together with the depth of the pit, together make 10 tfachim and not more, that suffices to consider the entire pit as a Rishus HaYochid. And we discussed this previously on Daf Ayin Ches, a little bit more in detail, the boir and the chulyo, how they blend together to make a single measure of 10 tfachim. Continues the Gemara, Ashba b'Rishus HaRabim v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that when you have a trash pile in the Rishus HaRabim, then if it's 10 tfachim high, it has the status of a Rishus HaYochid, and one's allowed to throw water onto it from the bais. Says the Gemara, V'loi chayshin on shemo tinotil ashba. Are you not concerned that some of the trash pile is going to be cleared away, and then it's going to lose its height of 10 tfachim? It will no longer have the status of Rishus HaYochid, and the people will not be aware of it, and they will continue throwing things from the home onto the trash pile, and the trash pile will not be Rishus HaYochid, it will be considered carrying from a Rishus HaYochid to a different Rishus. Asks the Gemara, are we not concerned about that? V'harovin barav ada omar v'yitzchok. There was a story in a mavui. Shetzidoy echod koro. That means one end, the opening of the mavui was obviously from Rishus HaRabim. The back of the mavui, that's where there were entrances to the different courtyards, the chatzeris. The two sides, one side, tzidoy echod koro layam, there was actually the sea. It was a sea, the banks of the sea were on one side. And we know that since the banks have a vertical height of 10 tfachim, it's considered a wall, considered a surrounding a mechitza. But tzidei echod, on the other side, kolo la'ashpo. It was piled up with a trash pile. And it was a kosher, it was okay. Ubo ma'isa lifnei Rebbe. And they came to Rebbe to ask him, is one allowed to rely on such a movi and assume that it's considered closed on both sides? V'loi omar boy, loy issa v'loi heta. Rebbe says, I cannot tell you it's okay, and I cannot tell you it's not okay. Heta loy omar boy, I cannot tell you it's okay. D'cheshin on shemo tinotil ashbo, because I am afraid that the ashbo, the trash pile, is going to be taken away, and then it will not be 10 tfachim high, and it will be a movi that's totally broken open. Or v'yaleh yom sirtoin, we're afraid that the sea will wash up debris and earth to the edges, to the banks of the sea, and then the wall of the edge of the sea, which is the wall of the mavui, will not be entirely vertical. It will be very, very a shallow slope. And we've learned previously in the Gemara how shallow that slope has to be. In order for it to be considered a vertical wall, it has to reach the height of 10 tvachim within 4 amis. And if the sea piles up dirt, then it will be a more shallow slope than that, and it will not be considered a wall anymore. And again, the Movi will not have a wall. Also, Loy Omar, and I cannot tell you that it's not okay, Loy Omar boy, do kaimin mechitzis, because now at this point, the sea bank is 10 tfachim high, is vertical, and the trash pile is 10 tfachim high. I cannot say that you cannot use the Movi, but I am concerned that there's going to become an issue here. So you see clearly that Rebbe was afraid that maybe the trash pile would be lowered, would be taken away. So why in our Mishnah are we not afraid? Says the Gemara, Loi Kashya, it's not a contradiction. Ha de Yochid, ha de Rabim. If the trash pile belongs to a single person, then it could well be removed, and then it will lose its status of Roshos HaYochid, it will lose its status as a wall. However, in the case of a trash pile that belongs to the public, there we're not concerned anyone's going to move it away, and therefore in the case of our Mishnah, we're talking about a trash pile that belongs to the public. Since it's 10 tfachim high, one's allowed to pour from the home onto the ashpa. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.